Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 1830, the 30th podcast of 2018 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, Studio A at an undisclosed location deep in the heart of the free zones. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you had a blessed week and you're having a great blessed weekend. All of our listeners out there in occupied territory, stay strong, be encouraged. You are not alone. I had a technical glitch, just to let you know. Now, yesterday I said, tune in tomorrow night. We're going to hit this Ozzy Knezovich sheriff thing, John Smith, liar, rat, slandering people. And I've got all my notes together. I've got the audio. I had all the audio files together that I wanted to use, but then my computer decided to do an update and restart. And so anyway, I still have all my I have to recover that whole folder, which is recoverable. That would be segment 4. So I'm going to do segments 1, 2, and 3 tonight. And then, afterward, I'm going to be reassembling all the work that I did, and I'm going to do segment 4. And then what I'll do is stitch it together Monday morning, tomorrow morning, for those of you that are listening that usually like to listen to Radio Free Redoubt and download it to listen to it on your commute. I'm sorry, you're going to be delayed a little bit, but you just do the best you can with what you got. Adapt and improvise and overcome, right? So that's what we're going to do. Segment 4, and I am going to be talking about that. Hopefully you guys were able to tune in and listen yesterday. And I'm going to reiterate what I covered. Sanballat, the modern-day Sanballat, pointing his fingers and making false accusations at Nehemiah and the Jews who were trying to rebuild Jerusalem for the glory of Jerusalem, to go back to their heritage, rebuild something for God's glory. And they had honorable intentions, but they were falsely accused. Well, we're seeing that happen today, and that's what I'm going to be covering in segment 4. Which will be added sometime tomorrow morning once I get it all together and get it recorded and then add it to this live show that will also be all of it uploaded to Podbean tomorrow night. And don't forget also, if you miss a show, you can still listen by going to www.radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. You can also click on that link that will take you there. So you can listen to that and all previous shows and download or just listen to the stream them or download them. How's that? All right, let's get into the news and commentary, which is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. Also, all 10 books out on audio file. And you guys will get a chance to meet Glenn Tate and myself and Shelby Gallagher at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo coming up in September. I'll be talking about that more in a little bit. If you've haven't been listening for the past couple of weeks and you've missed those announcements, I will go over those again for you. But let's go to South Africa. I'm going to be talking about this in segment 3 tonight. I think segment 3. I'm going to be talking about this tonight. South Africa begins seizing white-owned farms. Now, they haven't really changed their constitutional amendment to allow them to do this yet. So they actually have some legal hangups, but it has started. I think they're going to get some pushback, but they'll be back at it. South Africa has targeted the first two farms for unilateral seizure after the owners refused an offer of 1/10 of the land's value. The South African government has begun the process of seizing land from white farmers, specifically because of the color of their skin. Local newspapers, City Press, reports two game farms in the northern province of Limpopo are the first to be targeted for unilateral seizure after negotiations with the owners to purchase the properties stalled. While the government says it intends to pay, owners Ackerland Bordery wanted 200 million rand, or about $18.7 million for the land. They're being offered just 20 million rand, which is about 1.87, well, one-tenth of the land's value. So they obtained an urgent injunction to prevent the eviction until a court had ruled on the issue, but the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs, that's bureaucracies, sound familiar? They just make up their own rules. Regardless of what the Constitution says, well, they got rules that they go by. They don't have to worry about the Constitution, right? Well, what makes their case unique, apparently, according to this report, is that they apparently were not given the opportunity to first dispute the claim in court, as the law currently, the current law requires. So I'm going to go into a little bit more depth on that. President Trump actually weighed in on that. And of course, the liberal, communist, leftist, the media, they're all up in arms over this. But I have my own thoughts. If you guys haven't been following the wildfires, I got some updates for you. Remember last time when I reported there were 110 large fires? Well, now nationally we have 113 that have burned 2.2 million acres. You can thank our environmental policies for that. Take a big deep breath, as Representative Matt Shea says. Take a big deep breath of environmental justice and choke on it, because that's what we're all doing here in the West. Firefighters are making progress toward containment goals on many fires in the West. So the number of new large fires, there's three new ones, making it a total of 113. Let's look at the American redoubt states. Idaho has 13 large fires, Montana 16, Oregon 12, Washington 14, and Wyoming still has only one, thank God. But those continue to burn. Hopefully you guys are, if you are in those high-risk areas, that you're taking measures for potentially having to evacuate. Just fire preparedness. It's a good time for us to think about that right now. Although we did get some relief today and tomorrow. We have rain in the American Redoubt, and much of the American Redoubt, cooler temperatures as a low front comes through. So that's going to really help bring in relief. Or give the firefighters relief, give all of us some relief, clear out some of the air, but we'll see. Hopefully it'll be enough. It's kind of that usually that August pre-fall teaser that we get. Feels good. Build a little fire, take the chill out of the air. It just feels like fall's coming, but don't be fooled. We still got plenty of summer and hot weather left. EAG News is reporting, this is out of Atlanta. Parents are fighting back after a school drops the Pledge of Allegiance for a student-authored oath to global society. I'm not kidding. Atlanta Neighborhood Charter School Principal Zara Zelski decided students will no longer recite the Pledge of Allegiance during the school's morning meeting agenda, which she described as to parents as, quote, an effort to begin our day as a fully inclusive and connected community. I'm at the point where I want to vomit every time I hear the word inclusive, because usually what it means is to heck with traditional American Judeo-Christian values and ideals. We're ushering in something that's godless and globalist and anti-American. That's what inclusive means, or perverted. We're going to usher in perverted. It means allow anything except for traditional values. Or if there's a conflict, well, this new progressive idealism takes precedence. That's what inclusive means. Over the past couple of years, it's become increasingly obvious that more and more of our community were choosing to not stand and or recite the pledge, she wrote, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a newspaper down there. The statement posted to the school website promised parents students could recite the Pledge of Allegiance later in the day if they felt like it, and vowed to create a better pledge specifically for the school. Is this unbelievable? So teachers and the K through 5 leadership team, she says, will be working with students to create a school pledge that we can say together at morning meeting. What? There's already a pledge. What's wrong with the pledge? Well, because you're pledging allegiance to everything the Republic stands for. That's what's wrong with it. So it'll focus on students' civic responsibility to their school, family, community, country, and our global society. Way to go, young global citizens. You get to make up your own pledge. You get to kick the old American pledge of allegiance to the curb because, well, you don't want to have allegiance with something that's, you know, full of hate and keeps, you know, puts walls up on your borders. Unbelievable. But the end of the article, they backed off, by the way. They backed off from this because of the pressure, the mounting pressure that they faced from this. But this individual says, I think parents should take heart in that the administration was forced to change their minds and go back to having the Pledge of Allegiance. And I think parents can learn from this that they do need to speak out and they do need to know what's going on so that they can speak out. That was not the principal, by the way, who said that. Read that article. That was from Leah Santos, actually the chairwoman for the school's governing board, apparently, who said that. So, yeah, you got to get involved, parents. You've got to be paying attention. This was a charter school, which doesn't really – is still a charter school, still a public school. I say homeschooling, over Christian schooling even. The Christian schools are selling out. All right. Here's some good news. The New American is bringing this report to us. I love the New American. Love it. If you guys don't – if you don't already follow the New American, please do. These guys are just on top of it. The Justice Department will cut ties to the SPLC, Sessions says. Shortly after the news broke that the Federal Bureau of Investigation still maintains some ties to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left fringe group widely condemned as an anti-Christian hate group by critics, Attorney General Jeff Sessions dropped the hammer and, speaking in front of a mainstream Christian group of pro-freedom attorneys maligned by the SPLC, among many of us. If you're in the fight for freedom and for traditional, especially Christian values, you've probably been targeted by the SPLC. We all have. It's a badge of honor. But these little liars, they've been briefing our government. Especially, it was really full force under the previous presidential administration, which will not be named. They used the SPLC heavily. Well, the Justice Department chief pledged that the Department of Justice would not be partnering with any organizations that unfairly slander or discriminate against Americans for their faith. Everybody, including the SPLC, knew exactly who Sessions was talking about. The SPLC, of course. Yay, good job. That is great news. Victory, victory for those of us who love freedom. This is a really good article. I'm going to link through to it, and it's going to be in the highlights and resources posting so you can read it for yourself. Here in the American Redoubt, this was exposed by Breitbart. The Senator John Tester is being promoted. They've got this get out the vote, and I was heartbroken. I was, because there's a poster that is that was produced by the band Pearl Jam, for a Get Out the Vote concert promoting Senator John Tester, Democrat, I contend, socialist, from Montana, features a dead President Donald Trump and an American bald eagle eating the remains of his corpse. Now, this leftist Democrat, John Tester, his opponent, Matt Rosendale, for Senate, his campaign called the poster reprehensible, and I agree. I saw a picture of it. You guys can see it yourselves as well. Just unbelievable. The poster, which is promoting a Monday Get Out the Vote concert, promoting Senator John Tester. Okay, we already read this part. The poster, which was a collaboration between Pearl Jam bassist Jeff Ament and Bobby Draws Skulls, depicts an apocalyptic Washington, D.C. with the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial decayed and on fire. In the center of the poster is the skeleton of President Trump with his hair intact, reaching for a briefcase emblazoned with the communist hammer and sickle, while an eagle feeds on his carcass. Unbelievable. Pearl Jam! You just fell to the bottom of my list. Stomping on everything I have, Pearl Jam. You're out of here. Gone. Jeez. One of my favorite bands. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to take a break. Come back to segment two. And you guys stick around. We're going to talk about some stuff going on in the American Redoubt that hopefully you'll be able to get involved in. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, cattle in Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
This is Jordan Page, and you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt.
We're back with segment two here at Radio Free Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by our great friends, Christian-owned, Patriot-owned Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. Go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to find out what they've got to be able to help you get in contact with them, and they'll walk you through the process, helping folks for years now. Very grateful for them. And also, I want to remind you of this website put together by the senior editor of Gem State Patriot, socialismtoday.info. Please go check it out. Get yourself informed and read up. Know what you're up against and arm yourselves with information and facts and sources and resources. Okay, let's talk about the American Redoubt a little bit. I've been talking about these events coming up in the panhandle, but there's a big event. This is supposed to be the largest Second Amendment rally in history, from what I've heard from a couple of patriots. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping the patriots are starting to come out of this Trump slump and actually wake up and realize that there's a real fight coming for our freedoms and for our liberties. And the left's riled up. Well, we need to mobilize the conservative patriots. There's an Idaho rally for the Second Amendment 2018. That's coming up on September 8th. So we got what? 2 weeks? Less than 2 weeks now. That's a Saturday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. It's a rally and a march. The date will be September 8th. The exact time and location to be determined. Well, that's old. We already got the times. It's 1 to 4. You can get more information by going to, it's the Idaho SAA, Second Amendment Alliance. Their website, that's www.idahossa.org. They're the ones that are organizing it. And I guess Ammon Bundy's going to be there. And who else? Gun Owners of America, I believe, was also going to be there too. So I'll get that. I'll pull that up. And when you guys get a chance to, they're updating this all the time for speakers that are going to be there. So anyway, you got the time, you got the date. If you can make it, please support it. Go to idahossaa.org to learn more. And then also, Inland Northwest Freedom Fest is coming up. That's going to be September 14th, the following weekend. September is a busy, busy month for Patriots in North Idaho at this the huge red barn coming into Sandpoint. On the left there, it's called Barn Again. That's actually what it's called. And that is on U.S. Highway 95. There's a specific address here for you to punch into your navigator, and it will take you right there on your cell phone, your GPS, and it will walk you right to it. Pretty hard to miss, though. But the sister of Reba McEntire, Susie McEntire, will be performing Friday night. Now, Saturday, there's a bunch of speakers lined up. We will be live streaming this, and we should be, hopefully, fingers crossed, working on this. And I'm going to hopefully tie a bow on this week with Liberty Broadcasting Systems, the American Christian affiliate that we broadcast with. They are going to be hopefully streaming this live. And I, of course, I will be piped into the station, and I will be streaming live. And then hopefully we'll be able to actually be on the air as well on the AM and FM dial. So more about that at InlandNWFreedomFest.com. Dave Barton's going to be there. I'm really looking forward to finally meeting him. I'd love to have him sign the copy of the Founders Bible that I love it. Okay, and then let's see here. The weekend after that, September 22nd through the 23rd, Sandpoint, Idaho is the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo. Remember what I've been saying. We've got borrowed time. We have this shallow revival, not a repentant nation, but a shallow revival. And we have the modern Winston Churchill in office right now with Donald Trump. It's a blessing, but I believe it's only temporary, and I believe that we need to be making the most use of this time. We need to find out how we can become more self-reliant so we can weather the storm, so we can be part of the rebuilding on the other side. Hooah. And Glenn Tate will be there. I will be there. Shelby Gallagher will be there. Several people will be there, including one of our sponsors also, Strategic Landscape Design. They will be there. Lots of workshops on food storage, water purification, medicinal herbs, alternative power, emergency communications, lots of stuff going on. First aid, bees, beekeeping, Black Rifle Real Estate, Beyond the Grid Outfitters, Complete Cabin and Home, Northwind Tools. Tons of people are going to be there. I'm just not even going to go down the whole list. Look at the poster yourself in the link, or you can just go to the website. That's inwprepexpo.com. All right. Now, let's see. Oh, I came across this. There's a publication here in the American Redoubt called The Nicholsworth. Just about every community has this Little Nickel or Nickel Nick or the Nicholsworth or Nickel something. And it's just kind of a large community, want ads and advertisements, and just kind of a little, just a community newspaper. They're covered actually in Washington, Idaho, and Montana. They reach quite a bit. Well, I saw this cartoon. I saw Snowflake Elementary and this cartoon about this wolf wanting to go on a school shooting, and this looks like a frog saying, "You can't. There's a sign that says gun-free zone." And it caught my attention. I thought it was kind of intriguing. Definitely looked conservative in nature from our political standpoint. But then I looked down at the bottom and I saw Rhino Pack. But it's spelled not Rhino like Republicans' name only. It's R-H-I-N-O, like how you properly spell a rhinoceros, rhino. But I went to their website, rhinopack.org, and it's Rhino Hunters Political Action, Rhino Pack. And the article actually that I was talking about, the Pearl Jam concert? Doc, stinking Pearl Jam. Anyway, they've got a tab there called Stark Raving Mad, and a drop down with all these articles. That's where I got that article from. If you get, I was fascinated by this. I don't know. I need to look into this a little bit more, but somebody's got something going in the American Redoubt, and they are going after the leftists in both parties. That's what they claim. We are going after both. We're going to take them down. And they're doing a lot of research about the rhinos, especially specifically the rhinos. Those are, that are claiming vote for me because I'm Republican, but they're not conservative. And these guys are doing some research. So check them out. R-H-I-N-O, rhinopack.org. There's something that Redoubt News covered. I wanted to share this with you. California water wars. Stop the water grab. Now, this is from Redoubt News. You guys follow Redoubt News, obviously. I hope you do, right? They're covering stuff that other people just don't or won't. But they're running an article here, and it's by Red Smith. Very interesting. California water wars, stop the water grab. The plan calls for increased water flows in the San Joaquin watershed in support of salmon restoration. A policy opponents claim would devastate local agriculture. Now, this is out of the People's Democratic Republic of California. So who cares? They're already fallen, right? Except it's interesting for us to follow this. First of all, we got a lot of patriots in California that are still fighting, and they're in the fight. So hold them up in your prayers, root them on, support them, support the state of Jefferson. And those that are in deeply held occupied territory that are fighting and pushing back against, they're the ones that are just great at putting a stick in the spokes of the leftist communist regime to keep them from just having full reign. So I appreciate the patriots that are still in California for various different reasons. Many of them are stuck there. They have businesses, they have family, that for whatever life circumstances cannot escape. And they want to. And plus it's their home and they just want to fight for it. So God bless them. Now, these folks are pushing back against this, and I'm reading the article. California lawmakers arrived to work Monday, August 20th, to find the north steps of the Capitol building in Sacramento occupied by hundreds of opponents to the State Water Resources Control Board's plan to implement Phase 1 of the Bay Delta Water Quality Plan update, a revised plan. I'm surprised they didn't list them as anti-government extremists were on the steps to oppose this government plan. But I'm looking at the arguments, and here's what we need to brace for, because this, we look at this and go, it's California, who cares? Well, you better care, because the same arguments, the same lies, the same presentation that they make, the same approach they are doing here in the American Redoubt. So they've got all of these policy advisory people saying that we need to protect the salmon. And what's happening is they are devastating the agriculture in California. So for so-called salmon protection, but it's not true. So what I wanted to cover here, at a counter rally on the Capitol West steps, this is the left, tribal organizer for Save California Salmon and Pitt River tribal member spoke out, stating, "We must restore our rivers if we are going to have clean water and fish into the future." As if they didn't do this plan, the water's somehow going to just get dirty and they won't be able to, the fish won't. So their argument here is, let's just face the facts, fish need water. So let's divert all the water away from all the agriculture to save the salmon and decimate our food supply. I could go into a lot more depth on this, but I want to point you guys to this article, and I want you to focus on the arguments that they use for justifying taking control of water. This has nothing to do with salmon, except for the useful idiots and the lemmings who are falling for this, in championing this, but there's a higher motive here. It's called sustainable development. It's called squishing all of the human population into these small little urban areas and dehumanizing the rural areas. And they're using water as a weapon, and they're doing it in the American Redoubt as well. And they're using these same arguments. So I want you to educate yourselves on this, go into this. I'm not going to go into much more depth on this because I want to get on to segment three. And we're going to talk about South Africa here. But read up on this. Redoubtnews.com has got this article and much more. Okay, stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
Segment three, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. You'll get a chance to meet them at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo if you get a chance to go. Hopefully you guys do get to go. But they provide some great services to help you get the most out of your property for defensibility, for water access, energy production, laying out your retreat to get the absolute most out of it. Your food supply, that's the word I was trying to think of. Your food supply, they're just great folks, very helpful. And I've just gotten some great testimonies from folks that have used their services. And also, it's not just if you already have property, then you go and get a hold of them. If you're looking at properties and you want another set of eyes, some professionals to look it over to find out what help you identify some of the shortcomings of some of these properties or some of the strong points or how to get the most out of it, might help you actually choose the property that's right for you if you've got several that you're looking at. And that's also a service that they provide. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you achieve a life of liberty. Now, there's an article here that many of you guys may have already heard about. The Israeli Special Forces is in South Africa helping train the resistance or training farmers or training whites for the Civil War and so on. Okay, it's a little bit out of context here. Here's one here from SHTF, Stuff Hits the Fan, plan.com. SHTFplan.com. Israeli Special Forces train white South African farmers to ward off violent attacks. Another one. Where to go? White South African farmers trained by Israeli Special Forces to fight off violent attacks. Newsweek, white South African farmers received training from former Israeli Special Forces agent in self-defense. A Special Forces agent. So that's Newsweek's spin on it. This guy is an individual. Israel is not sending Special Forces in to train South African farmers. This is an individual who happened to be formerly in the Israeli Special Forces, who says, you know what? I've got some skills. I don't want to help these people out because I'm tired of watching the rape and murder and these poor people being unable to adequately defend themselves. So here's the truth of it. He says it's open to everyone, and anyone who wants a specially designed system for farmers. His name is Abelnik, who trains clients in the Israeli-developed Krav Maga fighting system, according to the website The South African, citing TV channels News 24. He says, we train them to deal with a variety of different attacks. We teach them hand-to-hand combat, bush warfare, semi-bush warfare, urban warfare, and how to collect information. Now, he's not teaching them how to go on the offensive and start a civil war. naysayers. This is already coming to these folks, and they are getting decimated. And he's teaching them how to protect and defend themselves. The course involves training with weapons and hand-to-hand combat. Participants learn to deal with home invasions, violent assaults, and even the threat of an execution, which is something that they face on a regular basis. He teaches them how to overpower and defeat attackers, which many now believe is a necessary skill. Absolutely. Now, earlier in the news and commentary section, I mentioned this article from the Washington Times. South Africa begins seizing white-owned farms in land distribution program. Now, the left, the globalists, are saying, oh, this is untrue. That never got passed. That amendment has not been approved. It's all just a lie, which ties into what I'm talking about here in just a second, because President Trump spoke out against it, and they're just going after him. The busting the myth of Trump's accusations of South Africa taking land from whites. Well, the South African government has begun the process of seizing white-owned farmland, reportedly filing legal papers seeking to expropriate two farms for one-tenth of their estimated value. So the left, they're saying it's not true they're taking land without compensation. They're offering to compensate them. Well, yeah. How would you like to if somebody from the government said, you know what, because of your skin color, we just don't think you should have this land, so we're going to take it from you, and your $200,000 home, we'll give you $20,000 for it. So nobody can say we just took it without compensating you. Well, that's essentially what's happening to these people. Now, fortunately, the courts, it looks like they're going to have to hold off on this and not be able to actually move forward with seizing this land because it is not lawful. But they're going to do it anyway. And this is what they do. We're going to do what's unlawful. Oh, this is governments the world over. We've seen this in the United States. The government does something they know is unlawful. Even when they're reminded that it's unlawful, they say, well, we'll do it anyway, and then if the courts tell us to stop, we'll stop, and then you can just pay for attorneys to fight for you in court, and if you win, then we'll stop. That's their attitude. Well, President Trump, he speaks out against this. South Africa hits back at Trump over the land seizure tweet. Oh, there's Trump. Take his Twitter away from him. He's out of control again. More false statements by President Trump. So here it is. South Africa accuses United States President Donald Trump of sowing division Thursday after he tweeted that the U.S. State Department would probe. That means they're going to look into it. They're going to investigate land and farm seizures and the large-scale killing of farmers. Trump's tweet apparently followed a segment on Fox News, which claimed that South African President Cyril Ramaphosa had started seizing land from his own citizens without compensation because they are the wrong skin color. Well, South Africa's foreign ministry said the tweet was based on false information. So the false information is that they were not going to take it without compensating them. They were going to compensate them with one-tenth of the land value, and they're also going to do it unlawfully. That was a government seizure. So the killings also continued. So this is what the leftist article here had to say. What is really happening with land seizures and farmers in South Africa? U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted early Thursday that the State Department would investigate land and farm seizures and large-scale killing of farmers in South Africa. His statement was apparently in response to a Fox News report by Tucker Carlson, which claimed that the South African government had begun seizing land from white citizens based on the color of their skin. That report is blatantly untrue. Really? CBS News correspondent Deborah Pata reports. Oh, CBS, so we got all kinds of credibility now, right? Wrong. The Fox News story makes the false claim that South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has changed the constitution in order to confiscate land from farmers based on race. Okay. First of all, President Trump didn't say that they've changed the constitution in order to confiscate land. But it is true that the discussions is well documented. They boast of this. They are trying to change the Constitution in order to confiscate land from farmers based on race. They are. That's true. Now, it's also true that that constitutional amendment has not passed. It also looks like it would be very difficult for it to pass because they need 2/3 vote. But the momentum is building, and this is even from the government. People in Parliament are calling for the passing of this. And in the testimony, here's what I've heard the testimony over and over. People are saying we must pass this constitutional amendment, but even if it doesn't, we must take the land. We want the land. We've seen the videos. We've heard the people testify, even elected officials. The rhetoric is calling for violence against white landowners to take the land, even if this amendment doesn't pass. Matter of fact, many of them are saying, this is taking too long. We can't wait any longer. Whether this constitutional amendment passes or not, we must take the land. It's time for us to take the land. And so now here we are taking two land from two different landowners. And this was an agency who was trying to do this unlawfully before the constitutional amendment has been formally passed. But they are calling for violence against whites. Oh, they are not. And there's people that are saying that they're not, that this is blatantly untrue. Well, let me take you back to Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma was the president, the previous president. He was in office all the way up to February 14th this year. If you remember him, and of course, his ideology, his ideas, his rhetoric still continues today. So Jacob Zuma is a South African politician who served as the fourth president of South Africa from the 2009 general election until his resignation on 14 February 2018, this year. He's also referred to by his initials Jay-Z and his clan name Maholozi. If you remember in 2012, I've talked about this before. I've talked about this before with Simon Roche. In January of 2012, Zuma gave a speech at the African National Committee Centennial 2012 celebrations in Bloemfontein. And afterwards, after this, at this big African National Committee conference, led the whole Coliseum, whatever it is, this massive group, hundreds, if not thousands of people, singing the song Dubul Ibunu, the Shoot the Boar. The song's as controversial as the word boar refers to both farmers and the Afrikaner population of South Africa, which has been plagued by violent farm attacks. So here's a little bit of the audio from him leading this group of probably, it looks like, thousands of people all over at this facility, at this location, this venue during the ANC convention.
Amanda! Our two! Ozan Sodelane Ninenu Inaleo. Sizuba tubulange mbamba bazobaleka tu Sizuba tula ngembamba bazobaleka tu.
All right, that's enough. I know you guys you don't understand that. This is what he was saying. Power for us. We are going to shoot the boar, the white man. You are boar. We are going to hit them and you are going to run. We are going to shoot them with the machine gun and you are going to run. Shoot the boar. We are going to hit them and they are going to run. The cabinet will shoot them with the machine gun. Shoot the boar. And as he's singing this, people are dancing. They're singing along. And this shows us, I don't know, must have been 100 soldiers dancing to this song that they're all singing, kill the boar, kill the white man. unbelievable. And now there's more and more people that are openly calling for this. While those on the left, and you're going to see this, as President Trump, God bless him, calls these people out for allowing this type of hate and rhetoric, and even calls for violence simply because of somebody's skin color, the left is going to say it's not happening. They're going to be denying it, just like the Holocaust. It never happened. They're so deceived, they believe their own lies. But if you want proof, I went to Stop Farm Attack Murders in South Africa, their Facebook page, and started following it because I get stuff from Simon Roche regularly. Matter of fact, I got to call him tomorrow as well. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. And these guys they're talking about it. But there's an article over at Daily Mail. Inside the most dangerous job in the world, white farmers in South Africa are 4 times more likely to be murdered than anyone else, as Peter Dutton vows to fast-track them into Australia as refugees. Australia is working on a program to take in white South Africans. Russia is working on a plan to relocate farmers and help them set up to begin farming in Russia. We're behind the curve, America. White farmers in South Africa, this is from this article, have the most dangerous job in the country, says civil rights group AfriForum. Excellent one to follow, AfriForum, AFRI Forum. Claims farmers are twice as likely to be murdered than police and killed at 4 times the rate of the wider community. Wider as WIDER, community. AfriForum claimed there had been already 109 attacks, which left 15 white farm workers dead so far this year. Figures can't be verified because the government has refused to release farm murder statistics. I wonder why. Ever since 2007, they've been repressing reports on farm murders against farmers. Some killings are reported to have been barbaric and involve torture, rape, and slaughter in front of families. Government denies whites are targeted and says farm murders are part of South Africa's wider crime problem. Ernst Rhodes, AfriForum's vice president, claimed that political factors were fueling violent attacks on farmers. Peter Dutton last week announced plans to fast-track white South African farmers through refugee programs. So on the left, I saw an article earlier. I should have snatched it and dragged it into my notes. This woman is saying this has nothing to do with white farmers. This is just there's just a lot of crime in this country, and farmers are remote, so they make easy targets. But I have a hard time believing that when you have the former president. With thousands of people chanting, cheering, singing along, and dancing to a song saying, "We are going to kill the whites with a machine gun." These are people in the government. These are elected officials and soldiers from the government. And the same thing happened in Zimbabwe. Oh, you guys are saying all this. The sky is falling. Oh, they're going to come and get you. Oh, they're going to gun you down. It's not true. Well, and then it turned out to be true, didn't it? These guys are saying the same thing. So the left, I don't understand their standard. When they say somebody from alt-right, somebody, let's say a white supremacist guy, says something negative about blacks or against Jews, they say, we have to go after these guys and shut them down because this rhetoric, this hateful rhetoric, turns to violence, right? But you don't want to admit that this hateful rhetoric from communists could possibly turn into a reality as well. It's a double standard. This type of hateful rhetoric and calls from official people in the government to kill people because of their skin color, and you have soldiers, elected officials, and social activists, and incrementally you see crime spike directed against farmers and against whites. You see that incrementally go up. every time after calls for violence go out, and you're saying there's not a connection, oh, it's no relation, it's just crime. I'm not buying it. We're going to be following up with this stuff a lot more. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. Join us join us next week, Saturday, on the American Christian Network affiliates, Liberty Broadcasting Systems, and then, of course, next Sunday night on a podcast right here. And then to hear segment 4, check back tomorrow. This show is going to be uploaded tomorrow with my segment about Ozzie Knezovich, the sheriff of Spokane County, and the former Senator John Smith and their hateful rhetoric that could also lead to violence if we don't keep this in check. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'm sorry that I was not – that whole file was not recoverable in time for me to do the show. So that's coming. Check it. Check Podbean. Download the show and check the highlights and resources posting. And check out the resources that I talk about, the links and the highlights and the resources. Go check them out for yourself. And then download it and share it with your friends. Thank you guys for helping to spread the word, Radio Free Redoubt and Amron, to your like-minded friends and family. So with that, you guys have a blessed week. I will tie this in segment 4 here later. I'll start on that later this evening, putting that all back together. So with that, have a blessed rest of the weekend and the week, and keep your powder dry. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.